Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Our enemies are not just in flesh and blood. They are demonic and spiritual strongholds. And so when you look at the fruit of unrighteousness, I see this as being a list of enemies against us as godly people. Sexual immorality, it's one of our enemies. Spiritual strongholds, demonic temptation, it's on every hand. The enemy constantly makes sure that there is some kind of immoral visions presented to us in the marketplace. Sexual immorality is our enemy, family. You need to mark this up. This is one of my enemies. But I'm not to be intimidated by it or bullied by it or controlled by it or have a spirit of fear because of it. No, these are things that have been conquered through Christ. Yes, sexual immorality, impure thoughts. Kind of tied into the sexual immorality, maybe impure thoughts. It's another enemy that we have. Eagerness for lustful pleasure, another enemy. Participation in demonic activities, another enemy. Many people have gone to the stars, gone to the horoscopes, gone to the palm reader, gone to the soothsayers to try to find a word. Participation in demonic activities. Hostility is our enemy. Quarreling is our enemy. Jealousy is our enemy. Outburst of anger is our enemy. Don't give the enemy place by saying, this is just the way I am. No, it's the way you were. You're a new creation. So we come into this new year, I believe it's important that we recognize that we are not chained to the old man and the old life. We are free in Christ Jesus. Do not be intimidated by the past. Do not allow the enemy to tell you that you will never be free. You need to declare with your mouth, by the blood of Jesus, I am free. This is the old life. I will not be bullied anymore by these demonic enemies. Jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, all of these things are enemies of the Christian life. But in this passage, it says that let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life, in other words, entertaining and surrendered to that kind of lifestyle, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. All of these worldly lifestyle habits you've been set free of. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce. You read that and put your name in there and say, that is who I am. I am one who's controlled by the Holy Spirit. My life is controlled by the Holy Spirit. It would be good for us all to just say that. I am a born-again Christian. My life is controlled by the Holy Spirit. I submit myself fully to the Lordship of Christ and to the leadership of His Holy Spirit. Hello? He will produce. This is not something where we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, I'm going to do better. It's a new year. I have some resolutions that I must keep. No, it is surrender to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who delivers us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who produces a fresh fruit in our life. And you know what it is, don't you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here there is no conflict with the law. There's no law against such things. Back to Philippians. Do not be intimidated by these things. So in the verses 20 through 30, we find the verses that God put on my heart for this coming year. It's a lot of verses, and I'm not going to read all of them right at this moment. I just wanted to sort of jump ahead to that part. But whatever happens in verse 27, you must live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever happens, whatever you're going through, whatever your family's going through, whatever the enemy's throwing against you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit in you, what does the word say? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. This isn't that you just toughen up for the new year, that you're going to be stronger in this coming year because of you. No, it's because you surrender more and God has more control. But whatever happens, you must live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ as citizens of heaven. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing by my side, fighting together for the good news. Here's that verse 28 we started with. Don't be intimidated by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed, but that you're going to be saved even by God Himself. In chapter 4 of Philippians, we come to really the first point. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. My translation says, always be full of joy. Your translation may say, rejoice. Rejoice evermore, right? Always be full of joy in the Lord. Always be full of joy. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. This is part of our key verses for this new year, 2025. Always be full of joy. And you may say, well, how do I do that? How can I do that? How is that possible? Well, according to the Word of God, it says, while you're remembering the Lord is coming soon, and you're conscientious, you're considerate, that means you're being Spirit-led in your life. You're remembering the Lord is coming soon. There is a result of that memory and remembering, and that is joy. May have wondered, how do I get more joy? Think a little more about the returning of the Lord instead of what's happening around us. Let me just take you over to Revelation 22 for a moment. You understand these scriptures, but I want you to know that this last chapter in the Word of God, and we could read through the whole thing, we're not going to. But in verse 6 and 7, we see this admonition that the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord God who tells His prophets what the future holds. Guess where we're living? We're living in the future, right? Because this was written a couple thousand years ago. Has sent His angel to tell you what will happen soon. What will happen soon? Look, I'm coming soon. Verse 7. I am coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the prophecy written in this scroll. Look at verse 10. Then He instructed me, do not seal up the prophetic words you have written, for the time is near. The time is near. Let the one who is doing wrong continue to do wrong. Wow, you say, what does that mean? It means for some people it's already too late. Already too late for some people. The one who is vile, continue to be vile. The one who is good, I hope you can say, that's me, by the grace of God. The one who is good, continue to do good. And the one who is holy, you can say, that's me again, that's me, continue in your holiness, in His holiness. Then verse 12 again, calls us to acknowledge that time is short. Yes, that's exactly what this scripture is saying. See, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay according to their deeds. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. Who's the Spirit? Say the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit. Who is the bride? Say, that's me. That's me. So the Holy Spirit is shouting, come. And what is the church shouting? Come. Because the Lord is coming soon. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let each one who hears them say, come. Let the thirsty ones come. Anyone who wants to, let them come and drink of the water of life without charge. Dropping down to verse 20, he who is the faithful witness to all these things, what does the faithful witness say? Yes. Amen. I am coming soon. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. So when we read in Philippians, always be full of joy in the Lord, I say it again, rejoice. I even like that song we know. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Rejoice, be full of joy. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. And remember, the Lord is coming soon. Second point I want to direct you to is in the next verse, verse 6. And it's as a part of our scripture for this coming year. Don't worry. Yes, it does say be happy, doesn't it? How can you be happy? Don't worry. That's the way it works. So if you worry, you're not going to be happy. You know, you think about joy and happiness are not the same thing. You look at happiness in a natural, physical sense. Often that happiness is a sense of contentment based upon the condition and the circumstances that you're going through. But joy is not limited in any way by your circumstances or by the way you feel or I feel. The joy of the Lord is our strength because it is a spiritual source that the enemy has no ability to throttle back on. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't worry about anything. I was thinking of a term that I heard as I was growing up. I would hear people say, you are just an old worry wart. I'm not sure where that came from. I was trying to think about that a little bit, and I don't like warts, and I don't like worrying. And I was just thinking that somehow or another, someone somewhere must have thought that a wart can be a pretty gross-looking thing. And so a worry wart is somebody that just sits around and hangs on to anything and everything that might hinder them in having joy in their life. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So that's a great exchange, isn't it? We give up worry for prayer. Say, well, what am I going to pray about? Pray about everything the devil tells you you should be concerned about. And believe me, there is plenty for us to pray about. Look at this. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, what are you going to experience? Peace. What kind of peace? The kind of peace that passeth understanding. In other words, it's not a peace that you can create by sitting and looking at the ocean or walking on a trail through the mountains. We're not talking about a physical, natural peace. We're talking about a supernatural peace. That when you're standing in the midst of a storm, tornado, hurricane, whatever you are facing or you're going through, the peace of God sustains us regardless of what we face. Peace which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace. Whose peace? God's peace. Will guard your hearts. The word there is like having a garrison filled with soldiers, an attachment. Literally, contextually, we would say it's like God has sent a host of His angels to establish a protective guard around me so that I am not caught by the snare of the enemy to be filled with worry and unbelief. Because you know, worry grows out of unbelief. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, when we go to Matthew chapter 6, and let's turn over there, we have another scripture. This is not just a scripture that we find in Philippians, but you're familiar with Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, so I tell you, don't worry about what? Everyday life. Whether you have enough food, drink, clothes, life doesn't consist of more than food. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more valuable. You are far more valuable. This is another one of those, put your name in there and you can remind yourself, I am far more valuable to Him than they are, and He takes care of them. Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Might subtract some moments from your life. It's not going to add a single moment to your life. So why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that they are here today, gone tomorrow, won't He more surely care for you? You have so little faith. God's talking to His own people, to His own followers, and He's saying, your mind drifts. The enemy distracts you. You are caught up in the thoughts of those who don't have a father as you do. You have so little faith, so don't worry. Here it is again, don't worry. Why worry? Don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Father, by your grace, we're going to focus on faith, and prayer will be the solution to worry. You who are deeply concerned about these things, your heavenly Father already knows. You know that, don't you? That your Father already knows, right? And what does the enemy say? If God was really watching out for you, why would you be going through this? You have to just come back to the Word and say, my Father knows all my needs. Make them known. He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So here it is again. It sounds like God wants us to get it. So don't worry. Just don't do it. Pray. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. You don't need to worry about today. Tomorrow's going to have a whole new set. The enemy's going to be working in some way to throw some stuff at you. But today's trouble is enough for today. But what is the point? The point is either we give it to God or we try to hang on to it. Either we try to figure out, what are we going to do? How am I going to make this work? Or else we turn to God. Say, God, this is out of my control. I'm going to trust you. So Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Back to Philippians. Now we're down to verse 9. Fix your thoughts. Focus your attention on these kinds of things. On what is true, what is honorable, what is right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable, that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and may the God of peace be with you. Think about these kinds of things. Some years ago, I was in a doctor's office, Dr. Blues. I believe he's been retired for some time. He's a cardiologist in town. Our company, construction company, had built their home out at Selfish Point. And I never really had talked to him a great deal, but now I was in his office as a patient. I remember him sort of coming over a little closer to where we had eyeball-to-eyeball contact, and he said, now you're a minister, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, do you find that it's easier to tell other people how they should live and what they should do than to do it yourself? I wasn't sure where he was going, but it got worse. He said, if you don't change the way you live, if you make it into the emergency room, you're going to end up with open heart surgery and a lot of other problems. And he went into a lot of detail. So he said, really, the choice is up to you, isn't it? He said, you know a lot about truth and you speak a lot about truth, but you find it's not easy sometimes to practice. And so he said, I too have this same challenge in my own life. And he said, I have a 3x5 card that is in my car. It's on the visor. He said, when I get in my car in the morning, the first thing I do is I drop that visor and I look at this card because I want to remember what the most important things are between me and my God, because I know that that is what's most important. He said, I need to keep the most important things, the most important things in my life. And so he said, I'm getting ready to rush into my day. I'm going to see patients. I'm going to meet a lot of people. I'm going to have surgery. He's going to do a lot of things. But he said, I need to keep the main thing, the main thing. And he began then to tell me these 10 points that were on his 3x5 card. He said, I have them known. They're memorized. They're deep inside of me. But he said, I need to put them before me so that I'm reminded, Dr. Blues, this is who you are. This is what's important to you. And so as we as a family, as the body of Christ, the family of Christ, look at something like this, it would be real easy to just walk out and continue life as we do and maybe say, I'm glad he's finished. And what, maybe he's finished a couple minutes early this morning, and maybe that's a good thing, and just forget what's being said. But let me tell you, God wants us to stop worrying and absolutely discipline ourselves to believe God. God wants us to live beyond the known mental realm where we know things and we do them out of routine on a daily basis. I believe God is calling us to strengthen our faith this year and to recognize that there are going to be some mountains to climb and some valleys to go through that we are not going to be able to successfully be joyful going through those unless we discipline ourselves to do what the Word of God calls us to do. A man called me the other day at the radio station. I know this man casually. He's come in a few times. I've talked to him. We're really nothing more than very casual. And he said, I need to meet with you. Need to meet with you. And so I said, do you need to meet with me before Christmas, or is this urgent? He didn't want to talk about his meeting. He just said, yes, it's urgent. I want to meet with you as soon as possible. So I said, well, when are you available? He said, I'm available anytime. Anytime I'm available. I'm like, okay, that's kind of amazing, because I know this man has a business, he's busy, and yet he's telling me that he's available anytime. And so I just said, well, how about this day at 8 o'clock in the morning? He said, that's great. And so I was there a little before 8. He was there before I was there. And as we had a couple minutes of small talk, very quickly he said, Pastor Jonathan, he's never been to our services. He listens on the radio. He said, Pastor Jonathan, God has put something on my heart I need to share with you, and that's why I'm here. I said, well, let me take notes. I'm not going to say all that he said. I just want to say one thing that he said, which is kind of the context of everything he had to say. And it basically was this. He said, I've been listening to the ministry, and he said, God has so much more than what you've ever experienced yet. Don't let your past limit God's future. And don't let your experiences with God put a limitation on your faith to believe God for more. And don't think because what you've read and you've heard and you understand that God has done already is the way he's going to have to do it the next time. Understand that God is able to do so much more. And he said, I know there's some visions, there's some burdens, there's some things that God has shown you. But don't be limited to yesterday's news. Make sure that you are receiving fresh revelation and just move ahead with God. He really, to me, was saying, make sure that you are a bold and courageous faith person. That's what I really heard. Make sure that you are that person. If you remember, that was an instruction of the Lord, wasn't it? As they were getting ready to go into their land of promise, the word of the Lord was, be bold and courageous. Yes, God said, I'll be with you. You can trust me. You can depend on me. Wherever your feet go, I'm going to give it to you. But repeatedly, be bold and courageous. Be bold and courageous. I don't believe God was saying, I want more of you to show up on the earth. I think God was saying something to Joshua. Joshua, I want more of me to show up on the earth through you. I believe that was the whole message. I think God was saying, instead of spending more time with strategies on how to take the land, spend some more time with me. Remember, Joshua, those times when we were in the tent. You remember the times in the tent. In the Word of God, it talks about Moses would go with Joshua. They would go into the tent, and the presence of the Lord would be so mightily there that when Moses came out, his face was shining. But this is the part that has always really got my attention. Not only was Moses in the presence of God, and did he come out, and he was actually transformed by the presence of God upon his physical frame, but often Joshua stayed behind in the presence. In other words, as I see that, Moses was filled up and Moses was moving on with his day, but Joshua didn't want to leave. And I just want you to think about this. Maybe when God is saying, Joshua, you spent a lot of time with me. You've been in my presence a lot of times. You understand that I'm going to give you the land. You've heard this. You believe this. But Joshua, I want to make sure that you are bold and courageous. I want to make sure that the same anointing that was on Moses, that you understand it's on you as well. And I believe that the Holy Spirit would want us to know that all of us as His children, He desires for us too to have His anointing and His boldness and His presence and for us to be courageous with our faith as we move into this year.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Have you ever seen the world?